the thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
And welcome again to another edition of the Computer Corner. We thank you for joining us on these wonderful Saturday afternoons. Wonderful for us here in the Great Southwest.
It's gorgeous outside.
It's a balmy 70 degrees today or something. It's going to get frigid down into the mid-60s over the weekend. Sorry to all you folks that are living in areas where the weather reports always start with the word minus, which unfortunately is a lot of places. And what was it last week? One of the reports was, there's snow on the ground in 49 of the 50 states.
Oh, we have some in the northern part of Arizona.
Well, yeah, but so which state was it that didn't have snow? What's the natural thing that would come to your mind?
Hawaii.
Which you'd be wrong.
Hmm.
Hilo. I mean, they've got mountains up at 10,000. Florida.
Yeah, okay.
I guess. Anyway, that's the trivia of the day. We are the Data Doctors. We come in every Saturday afternoon to talk technology and whatever else is on our mind, our pet peeves, our issues. This week, we want to focus in on a particular topic, but of course, you're welcome to call in with any and all questions you have about any kind of technology. We'll do our best to try to help you out. 602-277-5827 is the phone number. If you're online and want to kind of interact with us, we prefer, in fact, we demand that you interact with us on our Facebook page now. That way we can have an open dialogue and discussion with the whole community as opposed to an email conversation where only the two of us know what's going on. And that's facebook.com/datadoctors. The radio show theme, as well as all the links and resources, our Geek Speak of the Week, all that good stuff, posted at our radio show website, datadoctors.com/radio. So choose however you'd like to interface with us, or just kick back and listen and see if we can't learn you a little something about technology. But we're focusing in today on our what's kind of become a quarterly focus because it's such an important thing, and that is the recycling of technology. Here in Arizona, we've got a statewide recycled drive going for technology in conjunction with the Arizona Technology Council and all of its members. All of the Data Doctor stores throughout the state, including Flagstaff and Tucson, are awaiting your arrival with your old tech to get it recycled properly. For those of you that don't realize, just about everything that you turn on with a power button or plug into the wall has an electronic circuit board in it, and electronic circuit boards are basically hazardous waste. You should not, cannot, will not, from this point forward, throw those into your garbage dumpster where it just goes off into the ether in your mind, but actually it ends up in our landfills, and the lead and the arsenic and all the carcinogens that are in technology doesn't go away very easily and sits in the ground and just creates a problem. So do your part. Stop throwing anything that plugs into the wall into the trash. We've got a better answer. What's that?
That's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah, I mean, that way it's easy. Yeah. Obviously, computers, those kinds of things, there's a secondary focus that we want you to think about. One of the reasons why we have this drive this close to the holiday season is a lot of you replaced computers, other technology, cell phones, whatever it is, with newer devices. And this is the general scenario that occurs. Your old computer, once you get everything off of it and get to where you want to go with it, gets put in a shelf in the closet or in the garage with every intention in the world of doing something with it down the road. But right now, I'm just excited to have my new computer. And about 2 or 3 years down the road, you're going to run into this thing that you put on the shelf and you're going, oh, yeah, I need to get rid of this. And then who knows what you do with it. Here's what I want you to think about. That 2 years it sat on your shelf in your garage, in your closet, it could have actually been in use by somebody that has a lesser of a need than you. One man's junk is another man's treasure. And when it comes to organizations that need technology, they're not after the latest and greatest. They're after anything that will allow them to operate. And various entities that work with the Arizona Technology Council and West Tech Recyclers, those are all of our partners in this these campaigns, they have lots and lots of folks that can use this technology. So this is the way it should go, and this is what I'm hoping to plant in your mind, whether you're in that position today or you're going to be in that position next month or next year. Once you've gotten everything from your old computer onto your new computer, give yourself, you know, maybe a week or two to make absolutely sure everything's cool, that the new computer's operating, that all your files, all your pictures, or all that are on there. And as quickly as you can, get that computer into the hands of one of these programs. Data Doctors actually does this year round. So if for some reason you can't get to one of the facilities, one of the drop-off locations, Intel is participating. I mean, lots of big members of the Technology Council, and I'll list off as many as I can here shortly. They're all participating in the campaign. So there's got to be somebody near you that you can just. The whole issue of it's not that convenient. It should be convenient. You got Honeywell, you got Intel, you got Lockheed Martin, OneNeck, Avnet, Henkel. There's a bunch of different organizations that have set up. They're out there, going to be out there till 3 o'clock, I believe. Waiting for you to just bring the stuff by down in Tucson, ITT Tech Institute, the Data Doctors location, some others participating as well. If you want to see what it is that is recyclable and what is, you know, what you can bring and what to do before you bring it if you are concerned about your data, all of that information is posted at the Arizona Technology Council's website, which we have a link to. So you just go to our radio show page, click over on that first link, and it'll give you all the details. Now, if you have a computer that you know for sure has sensitive information, and you don't know how or don't feel comfortable using the free tools that we have posted to get rid of that data before you donate, you can, A, remove the hard drive. B, you can try playing with those utilities. They're all free that we've got listed on the various resources we have. Or C, stay tuned for a special offer we have for you if you're here in the Phoenix area, to where we'll take care of it for you. We're going to give you the details of that when we come back. It's the Computer Corner. We're talking about technology recycling. It's important that you grasp this concept and embrace it, and don't allow this junk to get into our landfills. It's important for all of us. It's the Computer Corner, back right after this. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about proper technology recycling steps, tips. Today is the statewide recycling drive in conjunction with the Arizona Technology Council and West Tech Recyclers. Any Data Doctors location in the state can take your old, unused technology you just basically have no use for anymore. Let's get that stuff properly recycled. Before we went to break, I talked about what you can do to ensure. I mean, it's critical that you not allow your personal information to move on with these donations, even if you assume that it's going to get crushed and recycled and what have you. Never, ever, ever leave anything to chance. So make sure that you've removed all of the personal information off of your hard drives. And those of you that want to get rid of your old cell phones, reset them, wipe them out. And if you don't know how to reset your cell phone, just go to Google and type in the name and model number of your phone and the word reset, or factory reset, and it'll give you the steps because it's different for every single phone. Make sure you wipe all that stuff out before you drop it off, hand it off, do whatever, because you just never know what's going to happen. If you don't feel comfortable removing the hard drive, if you don't feel comfortable downloading a piece of software and trying to figure out what's what, in Phoenix only and for today only, because this is normally a service that we charge for, but because we're participating in this event, and only in our Tempe labs, The address is 2082 East University. It's basically a university just west of the 101 freeway. If you get it down there today, if you're a business, if you're a individual that you know you have really important information and you're not comfortable making sure it's gone, we will do a secure erase. We have a process that goes through and does a military-grade erase. It takes a long time for each hard drive, but it's okay. We have a process for funneling all that stuff through. We will do that for you free of charge if you're going to donate your stuff to today's drive, but only if you take it to the lab. That's the only way we can ensure that there's no slip-ups on which machine needed which. If you take it to the lab, tell them. And John, I think, is there. John Yost is
there. Yeah, he's there until 5 o'clock today.
Yeah, so until 5 o'clock. If that's the situation you're in, take it to our Tempe location, and we'll take care of it for you. But just for today, today and today only, during the Arizona Technology Council recycling drive. How's that for you? Hey, by the way, those of you that participated in our CES swag poster review contest, we will be drawing names throughout the show after the first news break here. I'm going to go back down to this. I forgot to bring all the swag into the studio here. I've got the names of everybody that submitted a review, and we're just going to randomly pick names throughout the show. We'll post it on our Facebook page. We'll talk about it here on the show and then tell you what you won for helping us out with a review. I suppose if you can get a review posted in the next 10 minutes, we can add you. And when I say review, it has to be posted at Google, at a Google Places page, Yahoo, or Yelp. And it doesn't matter whether you've done business with that particular location or not. You can post on any location. And if you've never done business with us from a commerce standpoint, but you like our radio show, you like our newsletter, you like what we're doing otherwise, that's fine. Go ahead and post that stuff up there. That all counts. Anything like that you put up there helps us out because it helps people understand who we are that don't know who we are through your words. And more importantly, you could win some of the swag. So there's some pretty cool stuff. So don't forget there. 602-277-5827 is the phone number if you have a question. Wow, that's the first time I think I can ever remember that. I guess I only gave the number out once, but wide open. Completely open.
That is a first.
Yeah, that's cool. So if you are one of those that always tries to call in and you're frustrated, now's your time. Last night's newsletter. I want to talk about a few things that happened in the news this week. Two particularly interesting things that a lot of people will have some interest in. One is that Facebook opened up the way that their third parties interacted with all the information you posted. Basically, for about a day and a half, about a day, Facebook allowed their third-party vendors, these people that you say, it's okay, I agree to allow these people to look at my stuff. They opened it up to where they could get your address and cell phone number. And then the firestorm grew, and they said, okay, we revoke that. But that brought up an interesting thing. You know, maybe you shouldn't have that in there anyway, because who knows what's going to happen the next time. So our tip of the week in our newsletter is how to delete the address and cell number information in Facebook. And a lot of people say, well, I didn't put that in there. If you have a mobile device, you might have inadvertently added your mobile cell phone number to your profile because of something that you did through one of the mobile devices. So don't assume that that information is not in there. Look at the tip that we've got posted so that you know how to absolutely make sure that's not in there. If you don't have a problem with it, great, leave it in there. But if you want to make sure that it's not there, that's that tip. And then there's obviously the whole Steve Jobs situation. Him stepping away with another health issue. This is the second time, and Tim Cook, the COO, took over last time. Seemed to do all right. I mean, I don't see anything imminent going to happen this week because Steve Jobs is taking a leave of absence. He's still kind of there.
Yeah, but sometimes it's perceived he's the creative mind behind it all.
Oh, it's not. That's not perception. That's the reality. The question is this permanent? Is it not? And what's the impact? And I think it's really more down the road. So if you want to chime in on that, fine. If you want to chime in on the Facebook situation, fine. If you just want to ask a question, good. We got our Geek Speak of the Week. We got lots of other tips and news stories and, of course, more information, education about why you should never throw anything electronic away. And why you should be engaged in today's recycling event. It's the Computer Corner. Ken Colburn and Kevin Church, 602-277-5827, back after this. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about recycling your old technology. It's today's the day. Even if you don't live here in the great state of Arizona, and so sad, too bad if you're in one of those other places other than Arizona this year or this week. But if you're outside of the Phoenix or the state of Arizona, it doesn't mean that you can't participate in our recycle event today. Every single municipality, every state has some structured program for taking in old technology to make sure it stays out of the landfill. So all you have to do is just do a Google search for your area. You can use a really fancy word, e-waste recycling, and then put in your city or your state, and you're bound to find lots and lots of places for that to help you out in your particular neck of the woods. If you are in Arizona, we've got lots and lots of places for you to drop that stuff off throughout the day here. So datadoctors.com/radio, you can check out all of those resources. The very first link will give you all of the Arizona-based locations that are taking in this old technology. One of the things we talked about was your recycling your cell phones. We had a call from one of our listeners last week that is a 911 operator that brought up a very important point. So we asked him if he would join us again this week to specifically address this. And Bill, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure, Ken.
You were kind enough to chime in and kind of educate us on the fact that there's a growing problem with cell phones from the standpoint of the 911 system. And it has less to do with recycling, but it kind of has to do with what people do with their cell phones when they're done using them.
Well, yeah, I applaud you and all of your partners on your recycling efforts. I guess from a 911 operator standpoint, we'd say never throw away a cell phone first because of the toxic materials. But a point that a lot of people don't seem to know, and we're trying to work with the cell phone companies to try and educate them, is that even if your cell phone is inactive, deactivated.
In other words, you're not paying, you're not on a circuit anymore. It's over. It doesn't work anymore.
Right. By federal law, it must still be able to dial 911. So that means a couple of things. First of all, don't let your kids play with your old cell phones because they end up calling 911.
And it doesn't happen just once in a while, right?
No. As a matter of fact, Ken, I got some research from a friend of mine up north that he showed the day after Thanksgiving, his agency took 5,700 calls, and about 1,000 of them were 911 hang-up calls. That's a call where someone calls 911, and then they hang up before the operator is able to determine if there is a real life-threatening emergency or not.
So that's one out of almost six, one out of five and a half, or it's just
it's about
crazy.
18%.
Yeah. One in five, just about.
Yeah, and given that 94% of Americans now have cell phones, a lot of them are just coming from cell phones, and it's not just the deactivated ones. There's also the pocket dialing.
The big thing that we can give people guidance on, if you're going to give an old cell phone to your kid as a toy,
take the battery out.
Exactly.
You wouldn't let him play with the electric drill if it was plugged in, would you?
Well, this one has a very real impact on all of us.
Well, it does because it actually can save lives because the time an operator is spending trying to determine if that screaming child on the other end is actually a legitimate call.
Right.
Someone with a real life-threatening emergency may be waiting on hold, and
exactly.
Seconds count.
And that's you have to do that, right? When you get those hang-up
yes.
calls, somebody has to go and try to figure out, was this real or not?
Yeah. Now, Now, if it's a deactivated cell phone, it's going to come up on our screens as a 911 area code, so we can't call it back. But while the phone is open, we have to make every effort to find out.
Wait, but still, somebody's got to figure out which one of these calls have 911 or which. So the bottom line is we can eliminate all of those.
Exactly.
By everybody, if you're going to keep an old cell phone around that's been deactivated, take the battery out so there's no chance that somebody could accidentally, especially a child, dial 911. Same thing if you're going to give. A lot of people like to use their cell phone as a babysitter these days. Give their kids something to do.
Mm-hmm. Don't. Please.
Remember, Bill is asking on behalf of the 911 operators, please understand that this is a real problem. So, Bill, thank you so much for calling
in. One real quick one.
Yep.
Two other aspects. Never give away a cell phone. If you don't need an old cell phone, donate it to a domestic violence shelter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or keep it charged in a safe place in your car or home. It could save your life.
As another 911 device.
Exactly.
Right. Great ideas.
Hey, Ken, thanks so much, and good luck.
Thank you, Bill, and appreciate that input. That's great information, folks. I didn't even think about that. I mean, I knew that that's how it worked, but I didn't even think about how big of a burden is that. And, I mean, 1,000 out of 5,700 calls in one day were 911 hangups. How many of those were cell phones, people just being careless?
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. Another great piece of information from a great listener there. Thanks, Bill. Richard, you're calling in asking about recycling radios?
Yeah, portable battery-operated radios.
Yes.
They have, you know, stuff you need to recycle?
Yes. Yes, if it's got a circuit board in it. See, the process that's used to actually create electronics in those circuit boards, there's a lot of toxins that are on those circuit boards. You know, the solder, there's arsenic, there's all kinds of stuff in there. There's like 18 or 20 different carcinogens in the average circuit board. So even if it's a little tiny clock radio or whatever, multiply that times the 10 million clock radios that are out there and how many of those end up in our, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
you want to make
sure. It doesn't plug into a wall, so I wanted to make sure that no one had any.
Good point. No problem, yeah. So. If it's got batteries, same thing. So if it plugs into the wall or uses batteries, let's put an addendum to that. Go ahead and take and just drop it off at any Data Doctor's location or any of the participating drop-off centers throughout the state here today. If you do, by the way, folks, and thanks, Richard, for calling in and clarifying that. That opens up another line, 602-277-5827. You don't have to be calling about recycling. It's just call in about anything you want to talk about. That's fine. What was I talking? The those of you donating old computers, if they are, you know, if it's part of a business and you've already written them off, well, there's no tax benefit. But you can get a tax-deductible donation receipt for, you know, legitimate donations of computers. So maybe another incentive. You keep Mother Nature toxin-free. You might help another organization or agency. And just because it's broken doesn't mean we can't make use of it. So if we can get three donations and combine the parts of those three donations into one good computer, that's going to help an agency out. That's going to help one of the charities that we work with out. So don't just assume, well, this is no good or what. Don't worry about that. We'll take care of that. Just get the stuff to one of the drop-off centers so they can be properly processed. And we can try to do what we can to repurpose before we recycle. Does that sound good?
That's pretty good.
Let's go back to the phones. Rick, you have a question about non-functioning hard drives.
Yes, sir. Hi, Ken. I was wondering if I have either an external hard drive where I don't know if it's the power source or what may be causing my inability to get to the drive. I had purchased a hard drive dock recently. I haven't got to try it out yet, but I understood I could remove the hard drive from an external one and maybe use the hard drive dock to get to it to either.
Yeah, as long as the interfaces are the same. You know, there's okay. SATA, there's old IDE, there's a bunch of. So if it's a really old hard drive, the new docks may have a different interface.
Okay.
And so that would be the only reason you wouldn't be able to?
Well, I was wondering as far as turning them in, if I don't have a way myself of getting information off of them, either I can't access them or they won't operate, other than this one time of the year going down to your location, are there any other ways of going or just wait till next year at this time?
Are you talking about to get the data recovered?
No, to have it erased.
To have it wiped for you?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if it's if you're specifically during the year going to say, hey, I want to donate this to one of those charities, one of those causes, we're not going to turn you away. So, I mean, if you can't get down there today, no problem. We'll take care of you. Just make sure you specifically say, hey, I'm donating this for this organization, right? Because if it's not a functioning hard drive, there's really not an issue. It's just going to go through recycling.
Oh, okay. Well, and I've heard people saying, well, take a sledgehammer to it or something too, but I thought, well, there might be, I didn't know what could be useful in these, and maybe they're not beyond recovery as far as a useful hard drive.
Yeah, I mean, if they're not functioning, it's not worth the money to go and repair them because these hard drives are so cheap, and repairing a hard drive is very expensive.
Okay.
So what you can do is just get it to one of the – if you know for sure it's a non-functioning hard drive, then the issue of the data that's on there becomes almost, you know, irrelevant because it's just going to go through. What they're going to do is actually tear it down. They're going to pull the circuit boards off. They're going to start unscrewing things. They're going to dismantle the thing and then have it go through proper recycling.
Okay.
For the various materials that are in there, because each material has to be processed in a different way. It's pretty fascinating. I got to spend some time, and maybe what we do is shoot some video and really give people an idea how complex the whole recycling business is. We'll go down to West Tech with some cameras and take some pictures of it. I mean, it's a huge facility with just people everywhere separating this stuff out and trying to get it to the right channels in the right places. So,
hey, Ken, on if I can throw one more question to reference cell phones and their disposal.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of following up on what was just said, because I've heard of battered wives. I've also heard of cell phones for soldiers. And I'm sure I can go on Google and find places to send things. But do you or Strutt, or when we turn those items into you, is there a way that funnels to something in that respect?
Well, not specifically the ones you've mentioned. That is one of the things that they evaluate as this stuff comes through, is this, can it be repurposed? And if it can, then we try to find an agency that can use that. If you have a specific agency, especially when it comes to cell phones are much easier to deal with. You know, wipe them out and mail them to wherever or drop them off to one of these very worthy organizations that go, you know, that are trying to repurpose those things. So to your point, you just do a Google search. And if you have a specific type of organization you want to support, then you can do that directly. The Arizona Technology Council works with a lot of different agencies, so I don't know how they determine who gets what. So it's not you don't get to determine that when you're working with this big of a program.
Okay.
All right.
But they are, when we do turn, well, turning anything into you, it's going to be safely disposed of or repurposed.
Correct.
And that's the big thing that I think it's great.
Right.
And that's, you're doing for that.
And it requires the community, the technology community, to get together. Intel's involved, Honeywell's involved, the Arizona Technology Council, Data Doctors, West Tech. We're all working in concert so that we can really, you know, maximize this opportunity. So we got to go to break. Thank you.
Great job. Appreciate the help of our whole ecology. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. And I care about our groundwater as much as you do. It's the Computer Corner. We're talking tech recycling. Back right after this. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're going to start giving away some of our Consumer Electronics Show swag. We get to go up to the Consumer Electronics Show every year as media. Isn't that cool? We get to do that? It's a great little scam we got going here. I guess because we do a radio show, we're considered media.
I guess.
We're really not, but we're just regular guys like everyone else. We just happen to be able to leverage that. But because of that, we end up getting lots and lots of cool stuff. We call it swag. Like the first item we're giving away. And again, the entrants to this were those that submitted or posted reviews for Data Doctors on one of the three sites that we talked about. Anyway, the first CES swag bag, it is a laptop bag that absolutely no one else in the world would have other than somebody that was media at the Consumer Electronics Show. So it'll make you look like a BMOC. Remember what that is?
No.
Big man on campus.
Okay.
That goes back to Saturday Night Live. Long story. Anyway, the first winner is Troy C. Smith. We're just randomly drawing out of the bag here, and Troy's name came up first. So, Troy, the information about what you've won and how you can redeem it has been posted on our website. So congrats to that. We'll draw some more things throughout the show there. The Consumer Electronics Swag Drawing Giveaway. 602-277-5827 if you have a question about anything. It doesn't really matter whether it's about recycling or not. Like Russ, you're calling in because you got something that's really cold.
Something that's really cold?
Yeah, it says it freezes at startup.
Okay, I was a little slow. Not enough coffee today, sorry.
No worries.
Yeah, I have an HP desktop, and it's freezing up at the startup HP screen that says escape, setup, F10, et cetera.
So you never even get to the Windows splash screen where you get the Windows logo?
No. Well, if I force the shutdown and turn it back on a few times, I can get it to come up and start running again. Sometimes it's good for 10 minutes. Sometimes it's good for an hour and a half, and then it shuts down, or freezes up again, rather. Now, I've run hardware diagnostics, system diagnostics, antivirus scan, a stress test on it. Everything comes up perfectly fine and good.
I'm going to go out on a limb. Mm-hmm. It's none of those things.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
All right, well, a couple things. Freezing... For the most part, when you get a hard lock, are we talking about a hard lock to where your mouse won't move anymore and nothing happens?
Right.
Only you can do is shut it down?
Correct.
So,
keyboard and mouse won't do a thing.
So just looking at it from a statistical standpoint, that generally is caused from hardware.
Okay.
Now here's the problem. Whatever you're doing to diagnose the hardware may not be properly loading it to properly test it under the proper... ways that would basically replicate what's actually happening. For instance, if you have an AMD processor.
Which I do.
Okay. AMD processor, that power supply is critical. If it's not a properly matched power supply for that AMD processor, which most people didn't even realize, I didn't know you had to do that. A cheapy Taiwanese power supply that basically, who knows whether it's actually 250 or 300 watts.
Uh-huh.
If it's not providing that processor with the proper amount of power on a regular basis, this is one of the things that could possibly happen, okay? And unless you have a specialized piece of equipment that can test that power supply, it's kind of hard to know if that's it.
Okay.
It could be memory, could be motherboard. There's so many things it could be because it's errant like that. Any uh-huh. relationship to how long it's on, like is heat playing a role at all?
Well, I thought that may be the case, but it's locked up on me after 5 minutes, and then yesterday it worked for 2 hours.
Okay, it's all random. I'm going to put you on hold. As you can hear, the music's coming on. That's the general information to everybody out there. We'll get more specific with Russ off the air here. We've got hour number two coming up. We're going to talk more about recycling and technology recycling and why you should be doing it, and also our Geek Speak of the Week and some other tips and tricks. It's the Computer Corner. The Data Doctor's here trying to educate you a little bit about your technology. 602-277-5827 if you want to get in the queue. Ken and Kevin back after this.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
And welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. Ken Colburn, Kevin Church, the Data Doctor's du jour. Do you know what that means?
No, I've heard that for many, many weeks, and I still have no idea.
It's French for of the day.
Ah.
I'm going to teach you French on this program there, Mr.
You're
Church.
You're teach me a lot of terms today, I think.
Yes, we are. By the way, winner number two, Gary Franklin Mosby, winner of one of our CES swag drawings, the Verizon 2 GB poker chip USB drive. It's this red and white poker chip that you pull it apart and it's a USB drive. It's 2 GB.
That's pretty cool.
I'm looking at
out of
this,
all
like,
that stuff, that was the first thing I picked up.
The 2 GB in a thing the size of the poker chip, and the actual device is a third of that. Crazy.
I think it's crazy we're still surprised by that stuff.
Well, you got to remember, I'm old school.
Yeah.
The very first thing I ever did as data doctor, before I even realized I was starting a business, the very first thing I did was install a 20 megabyte Seagate hard drive.
That's pretty hardcore.
Right? It was an MFM drive, which, again, this is old school stuff. 20 megabytes. And they had the audacity of saying, you'll never need more than 20 megabytes of storage, Wilbur. Suffice it to say they're wrong. So now you look at this little tiny thing, right? I don't even do the math. What is it? 1,000 times more storage? And it'll fit in my ear. Anyway, congratulations, Gary. Thanks for your posting various reviews, and we appreciate that. And hopefully this is a nice little thank you from us. More CES swag to come. But before we go on, it's time for...
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
Every week we try to bring a structured, little tiny piece of education to the show. And that is what we call our Geek Speak of the Week. Try to bring you a word, a term, or maybe a new kind of thing that's out there that maybe really early term in the case of today's term. It's a very early term technology that, you know, if it gains traction, it may become commonplace. So you can say you heard it here first. Kevin, you want to take it?
Yeah, this week's is VOOCs.
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 Like books, but with a V.
Yes. Or a VOOC. Could you pass me that VOOC, please?
Yeah, we'll see if this one catches on. The VOOC is a new type of digital book that combines video, links to the internet, and the text all in the same application that you can view on a mobile device or another internet device.
Yeah, so if you think about what happens today, so if you're on the internet and you're at a website and you click on a link, it may take you to another website, it may not. I mean, it's kind of all over the place, and you have to be there. And so if you started reading that article or whatever and then left and then wanted to be able to continue it on your cell phone, you got to go through all this whatever, right? So think about the traditional book where it's just text. How about having the author, you know, it's almost like the DVDs that have the author's comments.
It kind of sounds like the newspapers in the Harry Potter movies.
Correct. Well, and a lot of the magazines, and really what's driving this is the phenomenon of tablets. That tablet format is very conducive to magazine, books, any kind of reading. But instead of just making it about reading, so for instance, National Geographic, if you've got a Zinio electronics subscription, you get the National Geographic magazine, and certain articles, you can click on the picture and it goes into a video. You don't have to go like somewhere else. It's all going to be contained in the VOOC. Or it'll pull stuff from the internet into the VOOC.
Interesting.
So watch for it. Yeah, it's very new. There's if you get our newsletter, there's a link to a short video that basically introduces the whole concept, shows you how it might actually pertain to your reading style. We're going to look back at this, by the way. This is my prediction. We're going to look back at what this is doing as so archaic and so... It's like, remember when everything was flat and nobody had holograms? Remember when they tried to make you wear glasses to get 3D?
You used to have to use your hands to type.
Well, do you remember just about all of us used paper GPSs up until the smartphone revolution?
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Geek Speak from a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, that's our Geek Speak of the Week. VOOCs! Watch for a VOOC coming to a shelf near you. All right. Again, we are focusing today's efforts on educating everybody about the ongoing issue of technology just causing all kinds of problems, not just in the United States, throughout the world. We have such a voracious appetite for new technology. Think about just the United States with the 300 million people that are here, two-thirds of which are probably buying new technology. I think the consumer electronics industry estimates that every household has, on average, 27 electronic gadgets. What percentage of those get replaced every year? One or two times however many households. You start to do the math on this, it becomes overwhelming. How many computers are sitting in garages and closets and what have you that sooner or later somebody's out moving, it's just going to be easier. It's just one computer, I'll just throw in the dumpster. Times a million people doing that. It can't be done. You just have to have the discipline, folks. If it plugs in or takes batteries, don't throw it in the trash. Dimes to donuts, it's got hazardous waste in it. When it comes to computers, get those donated to one of these programs that we talk about all year long so that they can be repurposed while they still have value. If you wait for 2 years to donate that old laptop, that 2 years it could have been used as a useful device for somebody, but by the time you got around to donating it, it's completely useless. Don't let that happen. 602-277-5827 is what Michelle dialed. Michelle, you have a question about recycling dead pooters?
Yes, I've got two of them.
Okay.
I've got a Windows 95 that used to work and a Windows XP that used to work. And when they got replaced, they just got put in the closet, as you just said, and now they don't come up.
Okay.
The Windows XP, I get a blue screen of death, which I cannot get it to come up and tell me what it says on there.
Okay.
Just cycling around. I've tried bringing it up in safe mode.
But you don't really care about trying to make them useful, right?
I care about the data.
Okay.
One of the computers.
Well, then here's the quick and dirty.
Good.
Yourself or somebody you know, pull the hard drives out of the computers.
Got it.
Donate the computers. Or recycle them or do whatever, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, with those hard drives, if it's critical information, at some point that you find somebody you trust or somebody that can manage this for you or you decide you want to pay somebody to do this, you can take it in and have them do the recovery or whatever to try to get the files off. It's possible, again, I don't know how technical you are, but it's possible that you can put that hard drive that you took out of those two machines into an external hard drive enclosure, plug it in as a secondary hard drive. So you're no longer asking Windows to start up. You're just going to look at the raw files on there. And
right.
you may be able to access that from another computer and just pull the files off.
Okay. So what type of, eons ago, I didn't stay up in the business. So I got out of the business right when Windows XP was coming in. So kind of outdated on things.
Okay.
So what would be the best way for me to access that? I mean, I've got laptops now.
It doesn't matter. Like I said, take the hard drives out of these machines, put them into an external enclosure. You know what I'm talking about?
An external enclosure.
Yeah, they make all kinds of enclosures, which you can take a hard drive and put it into this enclosure. Then it has a USB cable that'll plug into any computer. Go to any electronic store, the office supply stores, ask them for a hard drive enclosure. If you want to play it safe, take your hard drive with you so they'll know what the interface is, because it sounds like you might have some really old stuff.
Yep.
So it might be old IDE, right?
Yes, it is.
So you need to find, because all the new ones are going to have the SATA or some of the newer interfaces on them. So you got to make sure you get the right type. But then you just put it inside this little plastic enclosure. It usually has a power cable and then a USB cable. You plug it in and it just becomes an external hard drive. If it's a functioning mechanical hard drive and it's just the operating system is screwed up, chances are you'll be able to get to and do what we call a data rescue instead of a data recovery, because all you do is just pull the files off.
Right. That's what I'm looking to do.
Yeah. Hang on. I'm going to put you on hold here. We got to go a little long for a break, but I want to make sure you got all the information. Since you've been out of it for a little while, I'll try to help out. 602-277-5827. Ken and Kevin from Data Doctors back right after this. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. By the way, we're so focused on doing the show, we haven't been drawing more names. Skull Candy, I'm grabbing into the bag now. Let's see who wins a pair of the Skull Candy headphones, which, by the way, I think they have microphones, so you can use them for, like, smartphones and stuff. I don't have a last name. Efrain, E-F-R-A-I-N, one of our Twitter friends that we only know his first name. Or maybe it's his last time. I don't know. Anyway, you got some skull candy, Bubba. We'll post that shortly. DataDoctors.com/radio is where you can get all the links and information that we're talking about today when it comes to recycling. Throughout the state of Arizona, anything that you have that plugs in or takes batteries, you should consider getting it down to one of the drop-off centers. Intel, Honeywell, lots and lots of technology partners that are part of the Arizona Technology Council. West Tech Recyclers and all of the Data Doctors locations throughout the state are participating in this drive. Again, let's keep this stuff out of the landfills. It's toxic waste. I know I sound like a parrot. I'm sorry for those of you that have had to hear this for, what is this, our 12th year of doing this? But not enough people are listening. So you got to help me spread the word. This thing, the amount of technology we use as a country is continuing to go up. I mean, look at these tablets now. That's bringing a whole new genre of technology that didn't exist before, right? It's a new sector. Well, that's going to create another sector of toxic waste if we don't responsibly recycle this stuff. So please help us both in your own situation and also educating others about how important it is throughout the year to do this right. Matt, you have a question about clearing the hard drive off before you get rid of something or sell something?
Yeah, I'm looking to sell my Mac. I have an older Mac Power PC. Uh-huh. I'm just looking to sell it, and I want to know what's your recommendation for moving everything off so that no one gets any of my personal information, and do I need to, you know, to merge some of my stuff onto my new PC?
Here's probably the lowest tech advice I can give you that has the highest level of 100% guarantee that the information that was on your computer will never get in the hands of the person you sold it to. You ready?
Ready.
Take the hard drive out of the Mac.
Okay.
Buy a new hard drive. Put it into the Mac. Load the operating system so that it's brand spanking new, fresh, clean. You'll probably get more money for it that way. And then you take that old hard drive, just like we talked about before, put it into an external enclosure, plug it into your new computer, and have it as an external drive. That way you can, over time, find the stuff you want off that drive and not have to figure it all out at once.
Gotcha.
You think about the problem right now. I guarantee you that you cannot tell me that where every single file is on that Mac that you really do want to have on the new computer. You literally don't even know what's in the nooks and crannies and crevices of that computer.
Very true.
Right?
Very true.
So rather than take the chance of not knowing, so that's one epic fail. The second is, I thought I got rid of it, but I didn't, and so whoever got my computer has that information. That's epic fail number two, right? So yeah. You eliminate both of those by doing what I'm talking about, and that's a lot less technical and gives you a lot more control and time than just about anything else I can come up with.
And comfort.
And knowing
that it's all there.
Exactly. Yep. And I think, you know, it's just like it's an old car, but I just put a new motor in it. It's an old computer, but I just put a brand new hard drive in it. You show them the receipt, you do the whole thing. I think it's going to drive the value of that up a little bit. And it's nice and clean so that they don't have to go and get rid of all your junk. Right? Yeah. I think everybody wins if you do it that way.
Very good.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Hey, good luck.
Thanks for my call.
Yep. Hey, I'm a pretty smart guy sometimes, huh?
It happens.
I just surprised. No, I'm just kidding. Standard operating procedures, what we tell everybody. 602-277-5827, two lines open. It is the Data Doctors. We're talking tech. We're talking recycling. We're talking whatever you want to do. When we come back, we're going to give you lots and lots of tips on what you can do before you donate, recycle, or sell your old computer in addition to what we just talked about. Ken Colburn, Kevin Church, the Data Doctors du jour. Du jour. Back right after this. To the computer corner, datadoctors.com/radio is the all you need to be able to see the resources that we've got posted for deleting data before donating, recycling, reselling your old computer, all of the drop-off points throughout the state of Arizona for the statewide address here or drive that's going on. If you want to make sure that the data is securely erased from your drive, you can take it to, in Tempe, our data recovery labs, our headquarters. Tell John, who's there, and tell Five that that's what you want, and then they'll basically earmark that stuff, put that in a separate pile, and make sure during the week that we get all that stuff securely wiped off. It's a very long military-grade process that we'll make sure that there's no way that anything that's on there is... Well, I should say no way. The chances of anything happening go down to 0.0000 whatever, because we're gonna make it nearly impossible, and basically not worth the effort. Because who are you anyway? Why are you so important? Why would somebody want your data, Kevin?
I don't know. I don't have anything out there that's really worth much.
By the way, the links that we have for what you can do, there's two free utilities you can download. One is called Eraser that allows you to erase just files. So once you install the eraser program, you get an option when you right-click on a file. Usually it says delete. You'll have a new one called erase. And what that does is that actually goes and scrubs that part of the hard drive off when you're removing the file. Because when you use the delete command in Windows, you're basically making Windows unaware that the file exists, but it's completely intact underneath the surface. It's essentially they're taking the first character away of the file name so that the operating system just ignores it. And then hopefully overwrites it at some point. So that's really not securely erasing files when you just tell Windows to delete. So that's one option. Derek's boot and nuke, which will basically wipe and level the whole hard drive out. It'll be blank. You have to create it takes a little more technical know-how. You have to create a bootable CD, but you boot to the CD and say, go for it, and it's just going to flatten the drive and just make it really, really difficult for anybody to get anything off of it. So those are the free utilities that are on those links. Again, datadoctors.com/radio. It's all right there for you. You think? Should we do phones? Oh, by the way, one of the news articles that I have in the newsletter this week is that a California court. Let me just read through what I have on the newsletter here. It says, if you're planning on suing your employer, don't use your work email to discuss it with your lawyer. Which sounds like common sense, but. A California Court of Appeals has ruled that the correspondence is not considered confidential nor privileged. The attorney-client privilege doesn't exist in that scenario.
California was also a state that said that any email that is for the that belongs to the employer, any the way you use it, they have every right to look through it all they want and make decisions based upon it. So if you're sitting there complaining with somebody at another job about how much you hate your boss, then they can use that to own you a little bit.
Well, let me cue you in on, especially those of you that work in large organizations. The IT department has on the mail server an automatic filter that looks for certain words like resume, quit, those kinds of things. And copies of those emails will end up in a particular review file. That's an automatic part of most large corporations. They monitor everything that's being done on their email server, which they have the right to do. So, remember that as you think what you're saying to your coworker is private, it's nothing of the sort. It's not even close. So if that gets you to maybe rethink your actions at work, we've done our job. Wouldn't you say? Speaking of email, let's see if we can help Sherry with her question. You want to know something about tracking emails, yeah?
Yes. Hi, Ken.
Hi.
Good talking to you.
Good to be talked at.
Thank you. How easy is it for someone to, or me, to find out who sent or who was checking? Let's say I'm checking on someone. How easy or how hard is it for them to find out who I am?
What you mean you send something to somebody, you want it to try to be anonymous. How likely is it that they can figure out it was you?
Yes.
Okay. What are you doing, Sherry? Come on, you can tell me. Nobody's listening. I'm just kidding.
Is that a good question?
No. That's a great question. There was a time when every email you sent, especially from these webmail, like Hotmail and these other places, there was a time that encapsulated in the message was the sender's IP address.
Okay.
And the IP address is your unique identifier on the Internet. It's Internet Protocol is what IP stands for. So when you connect to, let's say you're on the Cox cable system, you connect to Cox, they give you an IP address.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
The always-on connections tend to be static, meaning that's probably going to be your IP address tomorrow and the day after and the day after. There's ways of changing that, and it gets real technical. But basically, even if you only had that IP address for 5 minutes, Cox knows who was using it at that moment in time. The reality is, today, a lot of the mail systems started taking that information out, and the reason they did it was they want to try to avoid getting pulled into legal issues.
Uh-huh.
And so they stopped including that. Like if you use Gmail,
uh-huh,
and you want to try to, you ask Google, hey, can you help me figure out who this is or whatever, you're going to have a legal, you know, subpoena. You're going to have something really expensive to get them to participate. And even then, it's going to be like pulling teeth. So if you're asking somebody that's in the forensics business like me,
uh-huh,
can I track you down from that?
Uh-huh.
Probably, but not through the IP address, through a lot of other things that I'm not going to talk about.
Okay.
Because if I talk about it, then I kind of expose secrets,
okay,
right? So we do that all the time. We work with legal organizations and some police departments and that kind of things. You know, we understand kind of the underpinnings and how this stuff can be pulled together.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as you sending it to an average user and that average user trying to figure out that it was you,
mm-hmm,
it depends on what the sophistication level is of the recipient. Depends on your sophistication level on what you've used to try to anonymize yourself, because there's lots of tools out there to do that. So without creating a big, I mean, that, if you're trying to be anonymous, you really should go educate yourself on how to be anonymous.
Okay.
Because you can't really rely on whether you understand what the sophistication level of the recipient is, right?
Okay.
So anything you post in a forum, anything you post on Facebook, anything, I mean, there's a trail that will lead back to you if it gets to a legal point, okay?
Let's say your employer can check and see who sent blah, blah, blah.
If you're doing it from your employer's mail server and from your employer's network,
okay,
you have no anonymity. Everything is absolutely clear, crystal clear to the IT guy that runs the network.
But from my own computer.
But if you're on their corporate network?
Right.
Or if you're on their corporate mail server and,
right,
you send, that's not on your computer.
Yeah, but if I'm on my computer and I send something out.
Through what network? Through your home network?
Correct.
Okay. Well, then the ISP, whoever your service provider,
right,
has records of all that. Your email, you understand, when you send an email and it's not encrypted, it's completely open to being read by anybody along the way. And so your mail server, you're going to say, okay, I'm just going to use Cox as an example.
Right.
You say, okay, Cox mail server, I want you to send this to so-and-so, and they're in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's going to go to a server in Dallas. Now, that mail server has a copy of it with all of the information that shows where it came from.
Okay.
That Dallas server is going to hand it off to Cleveland,
okay,
who's going to hand it off to New Jersey.
Okay.
Every one of those has all the information about where it came from.
Okay.
And that email is completely, I mean, you can read it. Anybody that has access to those mail servers can literally read exactly what you said.
So that they know who, they know it would be me.
Well, I mean, if you didn't put your name and what have you and used, aliases and those kinds of things, they wouldn't know necessarily it was you. But again, I'm trying to make sure you understand there's a distinction between the average user looking at this and somebody that's either in the business, managing technology, or the legal process.
Right.
If there's grounds for this to go into a legal scenario, then all that information can be subpoenaed.
Okay.
Okay, so you basically, anyone that thinks internet communications are anonymous, unless you have all of the sophistication of all the tools out there to allow you to be an anonymous, I mean, even these guys that are really smart hackers that launch viruses, they track them down because they slip up.
Yeah.
They forget one part of their cover, right? They covered 90%, but they left 10% open. Gotcha. So I'm not sure that that's a really good way to communicate information again, I don't know the scenario, but I will tell you, you need to be aware of those things.
It would have just been my email address, not my name. So,
but your email address... If I go back and look at some of the deep search web tools, I can cross-reference that email address to a million other things.
With my name.
Well, likely that your name is attached to that email address somewhere on the internet, right?
Yeah.
So again, the average user is not going to know how to do that. Those of us that are in the forensics business, this is child's play.
Okay.
So I don't know who you're concerned about.
That pretty much answers my question.
Yeah, just don't do it.
You did a good job, very good job.
Okay, I guess I'm trying to scare you to a certain extent because it's once you do anything on the internet, send an email, post it, you no longer have control.
Uh-huh.
It's out there, and anybody that thinks that they can run from that is fooling themselves.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ken.
You bet, Sherry.
Good luck. Show.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And do me a favor. Go recycle something today.
Well, maybe I can.
Maybe recycle an email?
Yeah.
All right, Sherry. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I hope that helps others. I mean, that's the point of this show, right? And this is why we have these conversations on Facebook kind of in the open. Whatever you're asking on our Facebook page, I guarantee you, we're up to 3,200 fans, I guarantee you some percentage of the other folks that come to our Facebook page have that same question. It may not be in the forefront, right? But I mean, today, most of the people calling in, we haven't put them all on the air, but most of them pretty much had the same question.
Well, and there was even a question on the Facebook saying, would you take a stereo and speakers, which I'm sure plenty of other folks said, well, you know what, I didn't even think of that. Now that I know I can, that's good.
If it plugs in or takes batteries, it's probably something you should recycle with us. Again, the technology the Arizona Technology Council's webpage, which is where all the information is on all the locations in the state of Arizona, and also what you can recycle properly with this program. It's all right there. So any questions anybody has, check that out. Okay, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to tell you how a USB cable in the near future could attack you. It's the Computer Corner, back right after this. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. I've got some ammunition for those of you that have to fight those people that basically talk about how the internet is making people antisocial, and that social media is making people antisocial, and these cell phones. Pew Research Center just published a study that 75% of all American adults are active in some kind of voluntary group or organization, right? So that would be somebody that's out there, forget the internet, they're out there mingling and working within the community and volunteering and doing those kinds of things, right? 80% of internet users participate in groups compared to 56% of non-internet users. So it's actually the opposite of what everybody says. The more active on the internet you are, the more likely you are social. The data are clear.
Interesting.
Pew Internet Research. It's one of the things that I linked to on our newsletter last night. So
it doesn't really surprise me, though.
Check that out. But you know what? Before we run out of time, though, I want to make sure this is really important. Joyce.
Yeah.
One of the premises of this show is that we share your pain and others learn from your pain. You're going through a little bit of a nightmare with our friends over at Dell.
Yeah.
You've gone, and I don't even get into the details because we don't even have time to cover all the stuff that the hours and hours and hours you've spent. You're really looking for a way to get to the end of this as opposed to this process you're in the middle of, right? And so you've been calling their tech support and working one-on-one with these individuals. And then we were talking off the air. I asked you, do you have a Twitter account? And you said no. And I think I created a pretty compelling case for you to go and get a Twitter account, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And tell the others that it might be in this situation. For everyone out there that's never understood why Twitter was important, let's give them a little education, Joyce.
You want me to tell?
Yeah,
I've been online with Dell for over 30 hours with their tech support. Is all they do is hand me from one technician to the other, one supervisor to the other, and it's just like they're holding me hostage. It's a brand new computer.
Okay,
doesn't work.
So here's the deal. This is going to be an ongoing discussion. So I want you to report back next week and tell me if I was successful in helping you. I want you to go sign up for Twitter. It's free. Just go to twitter.com, create it. Doesn't matter what it is. Okay. And then I want you to, you have to articulate this in 140 characters, so you got to learn how to write in headlines. But you can basically say something to the effect that I'm tired of dealing with Dell. I've spent over whatever number of hours. And when you do the word Dell, put the at sign in front of Dell, because that's their Dell, that's their handle on Twitter. Okay? As soon as you do that, somebody that's been given the job of watching Twitter to see what people are saying about Dell, you just cut past all of these rudimentary people that you're dealing with, and now you're talking to somebody on the public relations side that's going to want to make sure that you publicly get taken care of. And the more noise you make, the more likely they're going to take care of you.
And, I'm going to make noise.
But don't be mean. Be fair, but be firm, and just, you know, be factual about what you've gone through. And next week, call back and tell us if that worked.
Will do.
Okay.
Thank you.
You bet.
Bye now.
All right. Bye bye. And so, anyone that's been struggling with why Twitter is important and why it could be important, we're going to do a real world test here. So you're going to have to stay tuned for next week to see what happens, huh?
It works.
It does work. Hey, we do the same thing. We're not perfect. We're humans. We have franchisees that make mistakes. It's not about never making a mistake. That's impossible. It's really what you do when you're made aware of it. What's great, I love Twitter as a tool for understanding what people are saying and thinking about data doctors. I love what the internet has done for me as a brand, because I'm really focused and interested on making sure that if there's a problem, that we're aware of it and we take care of it. And this technology has allowed us as our company to do that across the 10 states that we're in. Prior to this, it would have been, you know, somebody's upset and we don't know it. That's the worst case scenario ever. So check that out. By the way, researchers have figured out how to create code on a smartphone that if you plug it into a computer through a USB drive, it can attack the computer or vice versa. It's a proof of concept attack. It's not in the wild. It's not real. But this is how wacky things are getting. So we're going to keep our ear to the ground. I'm not trying to freak you out to where, like, don't plug anything in. But just be aware that that's something else that we'll be watching to warn you. This is how they're spreading viruses now. It's, again, has not happened yet. Just trying to tell you that we're keeping our ear to the ground on your behalf and keeping pace with this stuff so you don't have to. It's the Data Doctors. We appreciate you joining in. Please, please, please properly recycle your old technology. DataDoctors.com/radio, and we'll see you all next week.